So I present work on scheduling approach for energy efficient heterogeneous multi-core system. There is an evolution in the multi-core system. There is a trend to improve energy efficiency over the traditional multi-core. So here on the left, you have the traditional homogeneous multi-core. You have several big cores. And you basically do dynamic voltage scaling to deal with energy efficient power management. On the right, you have an alternative to use a small and big core to improve energy efficient and performance. So the idea is to rely on the thread migration among different core types, depending on the application behavior, to get the best of power and performance in the system. So in the heterogeneous platform, we have a lot of threads with different demands in terms of CPU intensiveness and memory and I/O. And the challenge is how to map, to scale those threads in the platform resource, in the big cores and the small cores. So this platform, we're assuming a single ISA composed for high performance big core and the low power small core types. So some challenge in this system. So the first is how to come up with an optimized thread assignment on these different core types. Also enabling scheduling individual threads and on each core type, groups of core types. And to do that, we need also to have a model of the workload of these threads, the other application. So we need workload characterization to understand the behavior of the threads running on these systems. So we need to know the speed up metric, the energy efficiency. So also we need to understand the if the thread is CPU bound or memory bound or something else together, or to do the best assignment. So this state-of-the-art scheduling basically determine a measure in terms of CPU or memory or stalls, which is called the bias. And this bias, the thread bias, guide the thread scheduling. So basically the highest or lowest bias threads goes to the big and small core accordingly in this system. So there's some issues on the, with this state of our scheduling that we identified. First is the unfair, these schedulings are inherently unfair by design. That means that the threads with highest bias among all the threads can monopolize the big core. So this can cause severe performance loss. Second issue is a single bias metric, either CPU or memory, cannot characterize some threads and scale them on the right core type. And the third issue is the unawareness of the core power usage of the individual core. To take this into account explicitly can lead to suboptimal energy efficient decision. So our solution is to develop a scheduling approach that allocate the threads in the big and small cores in the multi-core system in a fair and energy efficient way, taking into account both core execution and memory stall measure in combination. So we have this performance asymmetric multi-core system as a real multi-core system that we scale down some of the cores. So have one big core running 3.2 gigahertz, 8 gigahertz, and three small cores in 800 megahertz. And we also have a shared cache, L3, among those cores, and have a memory. And since we don't have a real a symmetric system, a heterogeneous system, so we estimate the power consumption. So we use the real numbers provided by this paper, ISCA paper, from Microsoft research people. So they collect the real data from a typical big core and small core, which is based on Intel platform. It's Intel Xeon and then Intel Atom, typically the two different core types that will be available in the probably in the near future. So one the key part of the work is how to do the measurement of the thread performance. So we rely on hard performance counter available in the MOOD core system. So you use Linux operating system, specifically use the PERF subsystem, the performance monitoring kernel modeling, available with the kernel 2.6.34. And we do per core runtime monitoring over a fixed sample interval. So we're assuming one thread per core. So we collect instruction execution per second, MIPS. So we have a counter that allows us to measure that. And then we also collect the memory access rate, which is in collected using a last level cache miss. So we assume that each last level cache miss will represent a memory access. So the first issue, we did an experiment comparing the bias scheduling, our implementation of the bias scheduling proposed by Intel people, and compare it with a simple scheduling algorithm. It's a big, we call it big core fair, the simple policy that provides an equally fair sharing of the big core among all threads in the system. So it is a round robin, very simple scheme. And then we found out that we have the speed up almost 47%, I think. So we have a very high speed up for this workload. For example, these three high computing intensive threads sharing one big core. So because of this unfairness design, we can have a severe performance loss. So that the problem is that lowest bias scheduling, the most CPU intensive thread, monopolizes the big core and hinder the progress of the other computing. So this is one key problem issue. The other issue is how to do the best thread, a better thread bias characterization. So for example, here we have the spec, CPU spec benchmark. So we run several programs. And this is running on the big core. And then you collect the two metrics, the MIPS and the cache miss rate. So the memory intensiveness and CPU intensiveness. So you can see a range of, so each program has a different demands in terms of, so the x-axis is the MIPS per cache miss in the Y. So here one observation is that, for example, the MCF on the left is a very low CPU intensive and very low memory intensive. And then the other benchmark, the MILC, so it requires more computation, more CPU, and also increases the cache miss rate. So if you use only one metric, we can do not provide a good scheduling decision. And also, for example, the two programs that have basically the same CPU intensiveness metric, but different usage of the memory. So this can lead also to different decisions and not optimized decision. So the third issue is to take into account split the core power consumption in the scaling decision. So for example, we have runs this benchmark in the big core and the small core, and we evaluate the an energy efficient metric, energy delay product, which is related to the MIPS square per watt. And you can see there's a range of energy efficiency among, so the energy efficiency varies along with the applications. And for instance, they have the A star on the left. So if you use only the bias as to guide our scaling decision, so we see the two programs with very similar bias measure, but according to the energy efficiency metric, they should run in different core types. So the Zeus MP should run in the B core because the ratio is more than one. So in terms of energy efficiency, the B core is would be the best option. And on the other hand, the A star, we should run in the small core because of the energy efficiency. So this metric. So using a metric that includes the core power consumption into account in the scale decision can lead to better energy efficient decision. And also this is another benchmark, B-Waves, that has a high bias, so it's more memory intensive, but it's quite also a lot of computation. So in terms of energy efficiency, we should move it to the big core. So if the bias scale, probably will run in the small core, and they will not lead to an optimized decision in terms of energy. So our scale solution is how to map those threads to the right core type. So right means energy efficient, energy delay product, energy efficient metric. So given the threads computation and memory demands in combination, and considering individual power consumption of the core types, and provide fairness via we use a lottery-based scheduling technique strategy. So the goal is optimization of both energy and performance in the multi-core system. So in the heterogeneous multi-core model, we have a set of core types in which core type I has a computational capacity in terms of MIPS, has a busy or idle and busy peak and idle static power consumption, B and I, in watts. And K is the set of threads. So each thread is running in the system on each core type, has a MIPS according to that core type running, so instruction per second, and cache miss rate, so memory access rate. So this is two demands of the threads. So given those this information, we have a way to estimate the power and energy consumption. So basically we use the utilization in terms of instructions in that particular core type. So basically the MIPS divided by the capacity, so have the utilization in terms of instruction utilization multiplied by the dynamic power consumption, so the idle, the busy, the peak minus the idle, plus the static power consumption. So this is the instantaneous power consumption of that thread running that core type. And then the energy is to accumulate the power consumption for each, based on the allocation of each core, each thread to core, multiplied by the scheduling interval. So we do that periodically. And we have in the end we have the energy consumption in the execution. So in the energy efficient, the metric we use is a MIPS square per watt divided by the power consumption of a thread core allocation. That is related to the energy delay product. Actually, it's the inverse of the energy delay product. So this is giving a schedule interval S and an assignment K to core I. So based on this, we have a thread running one core, core type A. So what's the energy efficient if this thread is assigned to run on different core type? So instead of doing direct measurement on both core and decide which one is the most energy efficient, previous work has shown that this has no overhead and loading balance. So we use a prediction approach that basically we collect performance data from running set of workloads, running each thread individually on each core type, and we come up with a model. The simple model is a linear regression model. So then we establish this equation, solve this, in the package, statistical package, it provides a very good correlation coefficient. And this performance characterization needs to be done once at the design stage for a specific multi-core system and a representative set of workload, typical workloads. Of course, depends on the applications, it may vary, so we have to recalibrate the parameters depending on the applications. So this is our outline of our scheduling called Lucky. So basically, we measure the MIPS and the LS misses per second for each thread running on the core type I, and we predict the performance in the other core type J, given that prediction model. Second, we evaluate a function that gives us the energy efficiency ratio, which we call the big core benefit of that particular thread K, which is the energy efficiency running the big core compared to running the small core. So for each thread, the big and the small core. So given this core benefit measure, we generated a number of tickets directly related to that number. So the number of tickets will be corresponding to that particular benefit. So that this number of tickets will be assigned for each thread in the system. So then give these tickets, we determine the winning ticket. So as a random number, uniform distributed between zero and total ticket in the system. So the typical lottery scheduling approach. Then we have a thread T, capital T, that holds the winning ticket. And we also find a core F, capital F, that will be the least loaded B core in the system. And finally, if the thread T is not running the B core, then we swap the thread T with the thread T prime that's running on the B core F and has the minimum number of tickets. So this is our risk, and then we implement this on Linux. So the initial thread assignment is given by the operating system scheduler, Linux. Then we apply our scheme to bind that binds threads to the set of cores, the group of cores of the same type, using a system call called affinity, so core affinity, scale set affinity. And doing this, the underlying operating system carries out the thread core, individual thread to core scheduling. So basically, our loop of management is done in the load balancing loop, which is interval about 200 milliseconds. To do the movement of threads in the system. This is typical what Linux does for load balance, given the cache affinity issues. If it's a too short period of time, you have some problem with cache. So this was the number of the Linux usually typically does. So depends on the system, the application, this can be longer or shorter. And also doing swapping between the running threads in the system, between the core types, so you have to preserve the load balance. So we always do a swap. We can exchange two threads at a time. And in our lottery-based scheduling, algorithmic complexity is based on a list. So the complexity is the order of the number of threads, given that the number of core types are small and fixed. And improvements can be done that in the to lower this complexity, but we are basically proving the concept of lottery scheduling. So the evaluation use a system workload composed of different programs of the spec CPU benchmark. So we have a workload that start with one compute intensive thread with three memory intensive, and vary this intensiveness until you have four computing CPU intensive and four memory intensive. So you have a range of this CPU and memory intensiveness. Also have the 4P, which is a thread that is not exactly CPU intensive or memory intensive. They have phase. And the two workloads is just random workloads we chose. So we assume four threads and four cores. So the number of threads is the same of cores, which is typically used in the server systems, for example, HPC applications. So our preliminary results are surprisingly a simple big core fair policy that just provides equally fair sharing among the big core, among all threads in the system, could provide energy delay product gains of 16% over the bias scaling of an unfair scheme. So our scheme goes beyond that because you combine these two ideas to provide fairness and also a bias strategy that is given by the energy efficiency. So combine these two ideas, we could overcome both policies. So compared to the big core, the round robin fair policy, we have gained 12% on average and 20 max. Loop scheduling achieve a better energy delay product in comparison with bias scale over all workloads. So we have improvement on average 39% and max 51%. So this is a very preliminary results, but a very promising result of the scheme. So the conclusion, so Luki is a proportional share scaling strategy for heterogeneous multi-core. So this strategy delivers lottery ticket abstractions mechanisms to provide fairness and optimizes for both combined performance and energy savings in the system. And we provide energy and performance improvement over the state-of-art tailored assignment schemes. And the future directions are we are working on tight control, performance control for real-time guarantees, for example, data center application, latency-sensitive application, web search, and media stream, that the deadline is important, even implicit or explicitly. Some other kinds of application is multi-threaded application. So HPC application that forks many threads in the system. So one interesting usage of this big and small core platform is to speed up sequential part called the bottleneck, the critical path of the multi-threaded application. Using big core and also parallelize the application in small core more in the energy efficient manner. So this big core and small core trade-off are very interesting also in this HPC scenario. Another direction is to use called thread consolidation, and how to use few cores as possible in the system and power off idle core. So this has a very interesting trade-off in terms of energy savings and performance degradation. For example, we could put more than one thread in the same core, sharing private cache, or you spread two threads in different core. So what's the most energy efficient, take to account also performance, resource contention. So this consolidation in the thread level is also interesting. And in the algorithm, in the Luki scheduling itself, we can also play with ticket inflation and deflation to help preserve cache affinity, for example. If some threads that are more costly to migrate, you can just give additional tickets to those threads that are already running, for example, the big core, to avoid switching too much. So that's it. Thank you.
Thanks for the talk. I'm Markus Henel from TU Dresden, and I have a question regarding your evaluation. The energy values, are they measured or calculated based on the runtime of the benchmarks?
Energy? It's yeah, estimation.
It's estimated off, based on the runtime.
Based on the runtime. Yes.
And then calculated using the table you gave in the beginning.
Yeah, this using this formula.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yes.
I'm Aaron Carroll from NICTIER and UNSW. How is the maximum runtime affected? So you've optimized, you've optimized EDP individually, but potentially increased the maximum runtime of some of the
Yeah, I mean, that's the guarantees, the deadline, the real time guarantees. We are just it's a throughput oriented workload, so here, so to have this deadline or maximum runtime.
Right. So if I have four applications running in parallel.
Yes.
Perhaps what I don't want to do is optimize EDP for each one of them, but rather minimize the total runtime to offline the whole CPU as early as possible. Did you consider that?
No, I didn't understand the question.
If you're optimizing EDP for individual applications, but another consideration is to optimize maximum runtime to get the for a mobile system, for example, to get the CPU into a low power state as quickly as possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is this consolidation. You can do that. Turn off cores and run the application faster as possible, and then put the CPU idle. So this is a different strategy. It's a race to idle. We didn't consider that,
okay.
But we're for this thread consolidation future work, we are planning to copy that.
Frank Belosa from Karlsruhe University. Do you characterize the tasks offline or online at runtime?
So the characterizer, we have this model, the prediction model is offline.
So what happens if you have different phases in your program, so that a phase with many last level cache misses is followed by a high compute intensive phase? How do you characterize this?
Yeah, there are two things. The prediction model, so these equations are done offline. Then we come up with this coefficient, and then we use this online. So
yes, but the characteristics might change.
Yes, so we do online. We collect the runtime. Mm-hmm. So the first phase here, we measure instruction per second online, and then we decide. The offline is how to decide, so based on this current behavior, the online behavior, how to map this behavior in the different core system, different core type.
Okay.
But if the phase change, we will capture this phase change. We are collecting this at runtime.
What happens if you have several applications running in the multi-core with effects on the last level cache and on the bandwidth to the main memory? That means that your model must have different versions depending, for example, on the current used memory bandwidth and on the working set of the other tasks, where the working set is in part stored in the caches, and that has an implication on the number of cache misses.
Sure. Yeah, in Prex, the idea is to have a relative measure among all the threads. So if we collected this thread is less memory intensive, but if another thread running, core running, is more memory intensive because of the cache pollution, something like that. But what's the important here? To do a relative measure among all those. Who is the winner? So who's the winner? We'll probably have some interference, cache pollution, But if you have a relative measure between among the threads, we can overcome this or at least mitigate this effect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No more questions?
Thanks. Thank you.